Good evening and welcome to tonight's forum regarding the Bay Area Transportation Authority's millage ballot proposal. I'm Peg Townsend, and I am Voter Services co-chair along with Anara Kurt, and we're just really happy to have you here. League of Women Voters believes strongly that democracy is not a spectator sport. We want people involved. We're grassroots, we're nonpartisan, and we neither support nor oppose political parties or candidates. We're sponsoring this forum because it's our mission to promote and facilitate the active and informed participation of citizens in government at all levels. We work to increase understanding of major public policy issues. This is one of those for our local area. And influence public policy through education and advocacy. I'd like to thank our co-sponsors of this event, and that would be Interlochen Public Radio, and I'll introduce David momentarily, and Up North Media Center, and we're having this. This is going to make it possible to have a replay of this on, you can go to IPR's website, or you can go to Up North Media's channel, the government channel, and you can tell others. They can get the information by listening to those opportunities. We ask that the audience refrain from using cameras and recording devices during the forum. It's being recorded, so it will be available for later viewing or listening. And I would like to remind you to please turn off your cell phones and other electronic devices. And lead volunteers are passing out cards for use in writing out questions that you may have for the panelists. And please note that on the front of the card are some printed suggestions to help you compose good questions. And just pass your questions down the aisle, and we have people that will be picking those up and making sure that David gets those. So without further ado, it's my pleasure to introduce our moderator for this evening, David Castleman. He's the IPR Morning Edition host and reporter. I'm a fan, so I'm really glad he's here tonight to help us get this information out. Thank you for coming.
Thanks. Welcome. We're going to have a number of people speak about BETA, about the organization's mission, and also about the millage. And then we'll take your questions. So without further ado, our first speaker is Eric Lingar, who's the communications manager for BETA.
Thank you, David. I'm going to turn off the light so it's easier to see, and you guys are going to have to strain your necks a little bit. I've got a couple slides to share. Everyone but the last one.
Those ones?
Gotcha.
Yep.
Whoop, one more too many. There we go. That's good.
Gotcha.
So just first a little bit about BETA. So BETA has both fixed routes and on-demand routes, which are our loop and link system. We give over 500,000 rides a year, and we have a fleet of 60-plus vehicles that range from small vehicles all the way up to large school buses, depending on the need. And our fares start as low as 75 cents one way. The BETA covers an area of 900 square miles, which is all of Grand Traverse and Leelanau County, which is roughly the size of Rhode Island. And our drivers put about 1.9 million miles per year on the road. And that's roughly four round trips to the moon and back. Over the last couple years, our ridership has continued to grow. Since 2003 to now, we've done about 300,000 rides up to over 500,000. Like I mentioned, we've got two different service models that we provide. Our loop system, which is our fixed route system, that has both city loop routes and village loop routes, and I'll go into those in a second. And then our link dial-a-ride system, which is our on-demand system. And so our loop system is kind of in two different segments. Our city loop system runs in and around downtown Traverse City. It's got five different routes, and for the majority of the time runs about every 30 minutes. And then our village loop routes make about hourly loops, and those connect to the outlying areas, Sutton's Bay, Glen Arbor, Kingsley, Interlochen, Williamsburg, Acme, things like that. And just recently, we also add express routes that shorten the time that are geared towards commuters to get in and back and forth between Traverse City faster. this is just a snapshot of what our city loop coverage area looks like. So people could hop on a bus and take it to Meijer, to the mall, to the Cherryland Center, to NMC, to the library, and a variety of places in between. We've got, this is our example of what some of our maps look like, both our city loop and our village. And if any of you are interested in some of our schedules and routes, we've got some out on the table out there. So in addition to hard copy routes, we also have them available digitally, both on our website. And just recently, we integrated into Google Maps, which I don't know if any of you guys have used Google Maps before to find directions or to locate a business or things like that. But now, just like you would use Google Maps for directions, you can type in where you want to start from and where you want to go, and it will map out exactly the, and you click on the public transit icon, and it will map out the route that is nearest to you or that works for your need. It'll show you how long it takes to get there, how much it costs, if you need to switch buses at all, and it's available right there at your fingertips. So you can access it online or if you have the Google Maps app on your smartphone. So our Link service, that's our dial-a-ride service, our on-demand service. You can, reservations are required. You can make them up to 2 weeks in advance. It's $3 one way, but reduced fare is available. And for our City Link service, it's door-to-door. So you, it picks you up at your door, takes you to your destination, and brings you home. And then our Village Link service connects to the, currently connects to the current, the closest loop stop, and then brings you into town from there, or connects you point-to-point in the county or the area that you're at. And that's just a representation of where our Village Link and City Link service coverage area is at. You've probably seen we have two different color vehicles that run around that are around our routes. Our green buses are our loop buses. Those are they're bright neon green. Those are our fixed routes that make scheduled stops at specific locations. And then our blue buses are our Link buses. Those are our dial-a-ride buses. And we color code our routes to help with wayfinding and try to offer shelters wherever possible. We try to make community connections and partnerships as well. We work hand in hand with TART, Groundwork. We provide seasonal services like ski and ride, bike and ride. I'll talk about those in a second. And you know, try to look for adding additional value to the community as far as public transit goes in whatever way we can. So ski and ride just wrapped up, so I'm not going to talk about snow because it's getting warmer out, but bike and ride is just around the corner. And this is one of our seasonal programs that provides an alternative way for people to use public transportation. We run two different services, one that runs between downtown Traverse City and Sutton's Bay along the Leelanau Trail, and then the other one runs along the Glen Arbor Empire out in the Sleeping Bear Heritage Trail. And basically, in the upper right-hand corner, you can see a picture. We chop half the seats out of a school bus, and we mount bike racks right into the floor of the vehicle and are able to transport up to 11 bikes. Since the start of this program, this will be our fifth year that we've offered bike and ride. We've provided just under 6,000 rides. And MDOT did an economic impact study recently on the value of bikers in a region, whether it's entertainment, lodging, food, drink, things like that. And based on just the riders that are related to our program, it's generated about over $300,000 of an economic impact to our region. So what is that? That's kind of the snapshot of who Beta is and what we do, but more related to what the discussion topic is for this evening. On Tuesday, May 2nd, Beta will have a millage request. The millage proposal will be 0.5 mil. So how is Beta funded? Basically, there's three different pieces of our funding pie. We've got 18% that comes from the federal government, the FTA. 38% comes from MDOT, or the state of Michigan. And then 44% comes from local millage dollars. We sell advertisements on the side of our buses, and then fare box revenue. 35% of that local piece of the pie comes from our local millage funding. And so if the millage proposal does not pass, then Beta will have to reduce services until another millage is passed. So what does the millage proposal look like? It's a 0.5 mil request. Beta's current millage rate is 0.3447. It's a five-year proposal that starts in 2018 and goes until 2022. And to put that in perspective, the average state transit millage rate is 0.6 mil. how has our region influenced this request and Beta's growth? So since 2000, Grand Traverse and Leelanau County has added about 15,000 residents, which is roughly adding another Traverse City into the population area of our region. Our region has continued to age as well. Grand Traverse County is aging at a rate of about 5% annually, which is the highest in this 10-county region of our area of the state. And then Leelanau County is one of America's oldest counties by age, with 38% of the residents of 60 or older. And so the need for reliable public transportation for seniors is prevalent as well. And to put that into perspective, 177,000 of our rides were to seniors and disabled last year. So we talked about population and we talked about growth. Federal grant dollars are not as easily as accessible as they were in the past. Previously, we were able to get grant funding to cover capital expenses for buses and things like that, and those aren't just available as much anymore. Beta hasn't asked for an increase in more than 14 years for its millage requests. And as you could see from that ridership growth, from 2000, 2003, all the way up to today, Beta has increased its service, has added ridership, and we've been operating at the same millage rate for the past 14 years. So we've been fiscally responsible within our means to expand service and grow ridership without receiving additional funding up until this point. And so to meet the needs of continuing on our service, improving service, and meeting the needs of the community, that's where the proposal lines up. And to kind of support this and some additional things, we conducted a community needs assessment last year. In 2016, it had a two-phase approach. The first phase was meeting with groups and organizations. So we met with Community Mental Health, the Disability Network, but we also met with businesses in town, Munson, Meyer, Northwestern Michigan College, and then some of our community leaders and organizations to say, what is Beta doing well? What could Beta improve on? And what would you like to see the future of public transportation be in our region? And so we took those findings, and we melded them into a public survey as well that had close to 700 respondents that also asked similar questions of what would you like to see from public transportation? What would be the goal, and what can we do to provide a service that this community wants? And I'll get to some of the findings in that in a little bit. So what is this going to cost us? Basically, if you have a home that's worth $200,000 with a taxable value of $100,000, currently you're paying $34 a year to support Beta. The proposal's at a 0.5, which would raise that up to $50 a year, an increase of $16 a year. How does Beta's millage request compare to some of the other taxing entities in our region? Northwest Michigan College is at a 2.9, TBIISD is a 2.9, the library just under a mil. Beta's request would come in at about a 0.5. So how much will the millage raise? It'll raise an additional $1.1 million in revenue for a total across the two counties of $3.55 million in local property taxes. So one of the questions that we've been asked recently is, so how much of that money will be captured by some of the local property tax capturing entities in our region? If you guys grabbed a copy of the ballot language, you'll see a very large paragraph at the bottom of that ballot language that says, by law, partial funding of Beta will be diverted towards DDAs, brownfields, things like that. So just to provide a little bit of clarification on that. So only residents who live in one of the property tax capturing jurisdiction areas will have their money diverted towards that particular entity that they live in. If you don't live in one of those areas, then your money's not diverted to those. So, for example, if you live in Leelanau County, you won't have your any of the Beta's money funneled toward the Traverse City DDA. And the majority of the DDA districts are built from commercial properties. And less than 4% of Beta's local millage funds are diverted towards DDAs and brownfields. It's a complicated stream to navigate, but that's kind of the general picture on that piece. So I mentioned the community needs assessment that we conducted, and basically the findings of that were, we'd like Beta to continue to do everything that they're doing right now with a couple of tweaks, but we'd like you to do all these other things as well. And so some of the key pillars that came out of the community needs assessment, and what we've been hearing from talking with people, is increased frequency, especially in and around downtown. Right now, on our City Loop route, you get a bus about every 30 minutes. But to make it more viable and to meet the needs of the downtown community, they'd like a bus that comes about every 15 minutes. The other thing that we're hearing from the community is, in and around Traverse City with parking and congestion and traffic, that we need additional options for folks to get in and out of downtown Traverse City. So looking at park and ride improvements for both commuters and visitors that make it easier for people to consider leaving their vehicle outside of town and not have to fight for parking and traffic in and around Traverse City. Technology improvements. Like I mentioned with Google Transit, we're trying to reduce some of the barriers or make it easier for people to use public transportation. Some of the other things that folks have asked for is online scheduling, being able to schedule your Link ride online or via an app, kind of like you would do when you book a hotel or a flight. Real-time bus tracking that tracks where the buses are and how far they're away, so you can know, all right, I have a chance to go get another cup of coffee before the bus comes around the corner. And then mobile fare payment options, other options for people to use and pay for their ride. And then from our rural communities, we've heard that we need to make rural service improvements. What we need to do is have more direct door-to-door connections for folks, especially for our senior population. Right now, if you live out, for example, in outside of like Kingsley, you could have a Link bus come and pick you up at your door. Then you could connect to the Loop bus. Then that Loop bus would take you into town, and you would get on another bus, for example, if you wanted to get to Munson. So there could be three different buses that you might have to get onto. So making it easier for seniors and for other folks to have direct connections to where they need to go, especially for health and wellness appointments and things like that. And then fleet and facility improvements. We've heard from the community to look at diversifying our fleet more, adding smaller vehicles into our fleet that meet the needs of the service delivery for our community, but then also looking at alternative fuel vehicles as well. We just added, so last year we added 5 propane-powered vehicles, and we just got 5 more delivered this week, which have lower CO2 emissions, a lower greenhouse gas footprint, and less wear and tear on the powertrain. And we put a propane fueling station on our campus so that we can purchase fuel and be more controlling of our costs for our fuel as far as for those vehicles go. So we've going around educating folks on the request and what is happening. We've got a website that's got the information, and the election is on May 2nd.
Our next speaker is Max Anderson, who's the executive director of the Traverse City Area Chamber of Commerce.
Thank you, David. I appreciate that. So thank you for having us here tonight. The Chamber is excited to be here and to support this millage request. You know, from our perspective, one thing that is critically important and one of our legislative priorities for both the Chamber of Commerce and the Northern Michigan Chamber Alliance is local transportation and adequate transportation. One term that we use around the office quite a bit is talent needs transportation. Being the Chamber of Commerce, one of our biggest concerns is the business community. And one of the biggest things we hear from our local retailers, manufacturers, basically every segment of the business population is we need talent. We need people. We don't have people. So among other things that we're working on, affordable housing, quality child care, transportation is on that list too. So this millage will help, of course, to add some capacity, as Eric had stated, and go quite a ways to further that narrative of being able to provide adequate and proper transportation for the talent in this area. Personally, you know, we think of this a couple different ways. You know, the Beta and what they provide, the service they provide to this community, you can look at it and say that it's, you know, they provide bus rides to people and get people around, and that's true, but there's other benefits that people don't always focus on, like reducing traffic congestion. Show of hands real quick, how many people love the traffic around here during Cherry Festival? Anybody? We got one.
Yeah, I don't come to town.
There you go.
So the traffic where you are is probably fine, but the traffic in town, everybody knows, is horrendous. So anything in the chamber's mind that supports taking some of that out of the equation is good.
We have a couple panel guests. Our first panel guest is Matt Moritz, who is a writer of Beta.
Okay. Beta is extremely important to me. I've been in a wheelchair my whole life, and without Beta, I would be lost. I would be really lost. I've been riding Beta for 17 years, and I don't know what the cuts would be or how it would impact me if it didn't go through. I would be stranded at home, not being able to do a whole lot, and I have to get out and make a difference. And the reason I utilize Beta a lot is because I make a difference in my community. I volunteer a lot. I give back to my community. And without Beta given to me, like they give to everybody else, I'd like to give it. I like to give back to my community too. You know, without it, I would, you know, I would be totally not being able to make my difference in the community, because I've done a lot in my community that to help kids, to help other people, you know, and we got to make the world go around, and without Beta we can't make it go around. So
I'd also like to second everything he's saying. I grew up in Sutton's Bay, where Matt grew up, and graduated with his brother from Sutton's Bay High School. And I watched Matt do everything he's saying and get around through Beta as well. And it was a beautiful thing to see. And I'm glad that I'm glad you're able to use this resource.
Yeah, and like I said, Beta has been behind my back since day one. I've been riding Beta for 17 years, and I'm hoping that to make it another 17 years or 34 years or however long I'm, you know, here. Because, like I said, without them, I would have to rely on a taxi, which is not in the cards for me, and it never will be. You know, paying what I pay now for public transportation is vital, because without it, I would be paying, you know, say, for example, a taxi from my door to wherever I volunteer would be $20, you know, $30. I don't have that kind of money, you know. And Beta, you know, them paying, you know, having us pay $1.50 to $3, that's nothing, you know. So, but if Beta were to lose this millage, then it would, like he said, it would take 35% of our services away, and that would not be good. So it's vital for people to get out and vote. Please, help us out. A lot of people would have to rely on other means of transportation. You know, not just me. They would have to call a taxi or rely on a family member. And a lot of people live on their own, like me. You know, and without being able to, you know, do things on my own. I mean, Beta has allowed me to be independent by all respects, and I don't want to lose that. And people that can't drive or that aren't able to drive at all, say for losing their license or whatever the case may be, Beta has been there for them. They have been their backbone. They've been there, you know, to help them get to work, get to where they need to be, to their doctor's appointments, to people with disabilities. You know, they're non-discriminatory, and that's what I love about Beta. And I thank you for having me here tonight and helping me to support Beta.
As a reminder, if you have any questions,
yeah,
you can write them down on a card. And somebody, if you have a question, you can raise your hand right now, and we'll make sure to get you a card. We'll make sure to ask those after Jakob Wheeler, who's going to speak next, speaks. Jakob Wheeler is the communications manager for the Groundwork Center. Go ahead.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, Matt. Max, Eric.
I assume you can hear me okay. Yeah, I'm honored to be here on behalf of the Groundwork Center for Resilient Communities. We're a nonprofit based in town. Our objective, broadly speaking, is to protect and improve all that you love about Northern Michigan. We advocate for sustainable and public transit. We advocate for food and farming, healthy school lunches. We advocate for protecting our Great Lakes and making folks more aware of the dangers of Pipeline 5. We're advocating for solar and renewable energy, and we're advocating as well for passenger rail down to Ann Arbor at some point. We're a big backer of BETA, and we encourage folks to vote yes on May 2nd. I'll read briefly from an op-ed that my colleague Jim Bruckbauer wrote a couple weeks ago, and we published on our website, groundworkcenter.org. Jim has been one of our champions of fighting for public transit. We at Groundwork fully support this millage because we believe that BETA continues to improve and provides a crucial service for the future of the region. Since 2011, BETA has been following through on a series of long-term recommendations laid out in a market study. That study showed that the system could be more effective and efficient if BETA improved its marketing and created regularly scheduled fixed routes between Traverse City and nearby villages and shifted its focus away from providing a dial-a-ride service. The direct town-to-town service allows people to live in places such as Sutton's Bay or Kingsley and ride the bus in and out of downtown Traverse City for work each day. Those commuters don't have to depend on their cars to meet day-to-day commuting needs. More and more people who live outside of town but work downtown are looking at BETA as a reliable way to get to work and not deal with parking or traffic, freeing up parking spaces and street space for other downtown workers and visitors. In addition, studies on talent attraction show that young people want to live in places where they don't have to depend on a car to meet their day-to-day needs. It's not living car-free, but car-light, and BETA is part of that overall system. In the future, BETA will likely work with private services such as Uber and Lyft to help people get around. I want to focus on that element for a second. We really appreciate and applaud how BETA is instrumental for seniors and those who are unable to drive. But the demographic young professionals and millennials, of whom we want to see more of in this region, we want to see them not leave, or after they've perhaps gone to school, perhaps it'd be a four-year university downstate, to return here. We want to see more young professional transplants from other cities in the country. We've launched a new campaign or a project called our New Economy Project, which is looking at what is attracting young professionals and millennials to this region, what are the impediments to them, and, you know, showing some success stories of those who have fallen in love with this place, as we all have. We have a deep bond with this place. But what's brought them here? How have they found a way to make a living? And studying at what are ways we can improve life and job prospects and livability for young professionals. We know that affordable housing is a problem. It's a challenge. But we really believe, and we've been hearing over and over again in conversations we've had as part of our New Economy Project, that a big way to potentially relieve the housing glut is through good transit. You can get downtown even if you don't live in downtown Traverse City. I'll point out a study here. The Rockefeller Foundation did a study in 2015 surveying millennials, and I'm kind of using the words millennials and young professionals interchangeably here. 86% of millennials in the United States said they are looking for public transit when looking for a place to live. So if we are going to attract more and keep our young professionals and our millennials, 20 and 30-somethings, we need public transit. It's one of the things that we are looking for. It's important. Young professionals, of course, mean people who are working, who are paying into the tax base, sending children to schools, which benefit our public education. So that's a big part of it. BETA is a big part of the solution to attracting and retaining the young workforce as well. Thanks for the opportunity to be here.
We have a number of questions, and I think I'll ask the question, and then whoever you think can best answer can just go ahead and go for it. Our first question is, taxpayers pay state, federal, and local taxes, and then property owners pay a fourth tax in the millage for BETA. Is it true that it costs the taxpayer $20 for every BETA rider?
I'm not sure of that calculation.
Okay. Could you repeat the question? Sure. Funding for BETA comes from a number of sources, state, federal, and then this local property millage. The question is it true that it costs $20? Is it true that it costs the taxpayer $20 for every BETA rider?
So if you took like our total like expense and divided it by ridership,
I think that's
it equal X amount per rider type of thing?
Yeah.
Or per ride is I think where they're trying to get to. And I'm not sure if
what's your total ridership in a year, did you say?
So for this last year was 502,000.
And then your total funding was, what was it? How many, what is the total, how much money? What's your budget?
So 7.4 million is our operating budget for this last year.
Okay. Somebody can do the math on that.
Average out to? Like 15 a ride?
15.
Okay.
All right. The next question is, does the millage have to win separately in both counties, or is it just the total vote? So
BETA is a two-county authority for Grand Traverse and Leelanau County, so it's a combined average of the responses.
So even if it gets 2% in Leelanau County, if it got 98% in Grand Traverse or whatever,
it would be the average of the two together. Yep.
Can you please explain the division of the millage with the DDA? Et cetera. And then also, are there other sources of funding for BETA, which I think we've answered. But can you further explain the DDA and how it's related to the millage?
So as in the one question is, there are certain property tax capturing entities that are in our region, in both Grand Traverse and Leelanau County. And for any taxable body, not only BETA, the library, other organizations like that, portions of their funding get siphoned off into those different organizations to help fund different projects that they do. So one example is the Traverse City DDA, Downtown Development Authority. So a portion, if for people that live or businesses that are in their TIF capturing jurisdictions, portions of BETA's funding will go to that entity, and then they in turn will use it on public improvement projects, things like that. So one of the most recent things that the Downtown Traverse City DDA did was the Pine Street footbridge by J&S Hamburger that connected Front Street to the Warehouse District, which also connects more directly to Betas Hall Street Station as well. So that's kind of how that. What was the second piece to that?
The second question was: are there other sources of funding for BETA?
So other sources of funding, Farebox makes up a small portion, about 8 to 10% of that local pie. We try to sell advertisements on our buses and things like that. Are there other pieces that I'm missing? Grants when they're available. We just recently got a grant from the Grand Traverse Band of Ottawa and Chippewa Indians as part of their 2% funding to do a pilot program in Leelanau County that's geared towards health and wellness rides. So we're always looking for that type of funding as well.
I think you just answered this, but do the fees paid by – or what proportion of BETA's costs are covered by the fees paid by users?
So revenue Farebox revenue makes up about 8 to 10% of our funding.
This is a question for Matt. Matt, have you seen improvements in the service BETA provides in recent years?
Yes, I have.
What are some of the things you've noticed?
I can't. I've been put on the spot. Lots of better service. I mean, for years we haven't had a bus service up at Bay Hill and where I live. And I've seen where I can get on a bus from Bay Hill and then connect to a link downtown and go where I need to go. Or I can take any of the routes and, like I said, link to another route and, like I said, go where I need to go. Like route one can take me down to the transfer. I can get on route two and, you know, go to the places that are listed in the brochure. Or I can go on route three and, you know, so on and so forth. And so that's been a big, big thing, you know, for me to look at the schedule and go, hey, I can get on this bus and go here. Just the other day I was looking at another place to volunteer and I looked in the brochure and it's like, oh, it's in there, you know. And so I didn't realize that it made an impact on me where I can just see something visually because I'm visually, I need things visually so I can look at the schedule and go, oh. I can get on here and connect to this bus. So it's all about connection, and BETA has done it.
Jacob, you have something to add?
Yeah, if I can piggyback, and I'm wearing a different hat here. I grew up between Empire and Glen Arbor and moved back a few years ago. I published a seasonal newspaper called the Glen Arbor Sun there. And one of the things, in terms of the conversation about how BETA has improved over the last few years, when I'm in Glen Arbor, seeing the buses with bikes on them, especially in the summertime, it has been such a boon for people who want to bike or run. The Sleeping Bear Heritage Trail, which has been a huge attraction for the Sleeping Bear Dunes, it's been a big economic boost for Glen Arbor. In July in Glen Arbor, if anybody's been there, you can't park. You can't park. So if you're coming from Traverse City and you want to bike the Sleeping Bear Heritage Trail, which is one of the, I don't know, I would say the top five things to do in this area when you're visiting, or if you live here, the best way to do it in the summertime is to take BETA with your bike on the bus. And that's been a huge improvement and a huge thumbs up coming from a Glen Arborite.
Thanks. Eric, this is probably a question for you. Will BETA have to increase what it charges riders if the millage fails?
If the millage fails... There has been no discussion currently about increasing fares to riders if it fails. If the millage does not pass, we will have to reduce services because we will lose a large portion of our funding. But that doesn't translate into an increase in fare at this time.
The Film Festival and Cherry Festival both use BETA services. Do these festivals pay for the bus service? And if so, how much do they pay BETA for the service? And does that amount cover all BETA's costs for that?
So we do offer festival shuttles during Cherry Festival and Film Festival. For Cherry Festival, we offer it for the full season, and then for Film Festival, we offer it for their time. So for 14 days out of 365, we offer shuttle service to help reduce congestion and things like that. We do offer it as a community service to folks so that it helps relieve the parking and the congestion and things like that downtown. It's a service that the community has asked for the free rides. A lot of times I talk with folks that maybe they don't use public transportation as frequently as, but they do use the shuttle service during the summertime, and they appreciate having that as a community need. They are offered as free rides for the community. They do advertise on our buses, but it's not for
it doesn't cover the cost of providing the service.
This is a question that maybe Max you could take. Traverse City just won an award, the Strong Cities Award, much of which was based on good public transportation. Do you think the community realizes this?
It's a tough question. It's a good question, but a tough one. I think there's a unless you live in that world, unless you're a Matt or someone who's using beta all the time, there's a certain element that you simply can't understand. It's one thing to conceptualize riding the bus and not taking the car or saving money, you know, rather than paying for gas, or maybe you don't have the means to have a vehicle. But there is definitely, I think, a large contingent of the population that, myself included in some ways, that doesn't fully understand the gravity of how important this is. And I think if the millage was to fail, the reduction in services that would need to happen would be greatly detrimental to our city. I mean, as you said, we won an award for strongest town, and we beat out it was funny because it was the strongest town in the U.S., but we were up against in the final round or one of the final rounds a town from Ontario, Canada. So I don't know how that worked. But either way, we were victorious. And one of those things, as you stated, was our fantastic public transit system. So it would stand to reason that it would not be a good idea to cut that with what we've built.
What's the cost of this special election at this time versus putting it at a general election ballot?
Do you have that? $140,000.
And that's covered by both counties.
Yeah.
Here's a question. Can you ride and buy a fare at the bus, or do you need to buy a ticket ahead of time?
So you can purchase your fare when you board the bus. They accept cash. We have electronic fare boxes that you can purchase right on the bus itself. Or we have different fare types as well. So, and those can either be purchased on board when you get on the bus, or you can go to one of our transfer stations and buy what's called a Zoom card, which is basically like a gift card that you load up with funding and you can use every time you travel.
What percentage
are you pulling your – Matt's got
it. Go ahead.
I don't know if I can pull it out. This is what it looks like. It's a green card like this. Just says Zoom on it. You can put as much money as you want on it. And they just put it on the machine like that, and it deducts whatever the fare is. Kind of a neat thing. So, and like I said, you just write a check and for that the amount you want, and then they put it on there for you. They have the machine right at the station, so it's pretty convenient.
There's been a couple questions about film festival users. And so maybe this is a question for Max. What's your perspective on that? I mean, is it fair that the film festival is benefiting from beta in this way if they're not, you know, contributing? From the business community side, what's your perspective?
Yeah, another great question. I think that these festivals that we have, as much as some of us locals might gripe about it and you know, leave town for a week, it brings a lot of people to the area. So there's a lot of ancillary benefits that come out of that in the business community. That's, the free rides, it's easy to say, well, why don't the festivals pay? Let's make the festivals pay something and put some skin in the game. Their skin in the game in the business sense is bringing thousands of people to the area, who all spend money. As everyone knows, we are a tourist economy. That's our number one industry here, with agriculture and manufacturing, you know, close seconds, and retail is in the mix as well. But it would, with what they do throughout the year and the planning process and the money they spend to advertise and bring people in, you could say that they should pay something, but I think that their contribution is bringing thousands of people to the area.
This is another question going back to the DDA capture part of the millage. What percentage of the beta millage will be diverted to other governmental entities?
So in total, it's about 4%, less than 4% across Grand Traverse and Leelanau County gets diverted to property tax capturing entities.
Matt, this is another question for you. How do you feel about the support of bus drivers since you use a wheelchair? What's your...
They are really good about knowing what how to tie it down and tie the chairs down. They're very educated. They go through trainings. I think they're very well trained, very well professional. Good job by them. If that answers it, okay.
This question says, the homeless depend on BETA. Is there a possibility of a less expensive fare for that population?
For the homeless specific population, or like a reduced fare for homeless folks? We haven't had conversations about that, but it's not something that would, you know, if we could implement it correctly and provide that in an organized way, it's something that we would definitely consider.
I'm going to read this question. We've gotten to, I think, all the questions. I'm not sure who might want to answer this one, but the question reads, commercial properties are private properties. Is it right that tax monies are used to fund private property? I'm guessing it's referring to the DDA authority in Brownfields. But I don't know if anybody wants to take that question.
The private public funding debate is something that we talk about at the chamber quite a bit, you know, because with what we try to do, you know, be the face of business and help drive the economy and our community forward, there are certain issues or challenges in the community that are very difficult to solve with just private dollars or just public dollars. It really requires a synergy of the two. And the struggle there is exactly what that question states. There's a lot of apprehension when you start putting public money into private or private into public and kind of intermingling the two. As with most things in life, you know, we feel that it's a marriage. It's a balance of both of them. You can't have all of one and all of the other necessarily. Public transportation, just as we said, is, you know, public transportation. So going back a little bit to the amount of people that use this that wouldn't otherwise be able to get to these places, some public funding to help drive this these customers into these businesses, which will then help employ more people and create more jobs. Because it's not just consumers using these services. As I had stated before, you know, talent needs transportation, and it's the employees that need to get to work. So, again, long way of saying I think that it's a healthy balance of the two. You can't have all of one and not the other, or the other way around.
How many students at all age levels use BETA, and do students pay the same fare as other riders?
I don't have a specific breakout of our student ridership. But students do pay reduced fare. So reduced fare is half off any of our normal fares for seniors. So that's 60 and over, folks who qualify with a disability, and then any students qualify for half off. And so students do utilize our services. A number of our routes and buses pick up students before and after school, depending on the need. Our ski and ride, okay, I didn't say we were going to talk about snow, but our ski and ride program, which just wrapped up, a lot of the ski programs utilize that as after school transportation. So they'll board the bus. And since our routes go by a lot of the ski resorts already, we drop them off and then their parents pick them up after school after their ski practice is done. So students are a good utilizer of our services.
Those are all the questions I have right now. If anybody else has questions, we'd love to get them. I've got a couple questions. Eric, do you know specifically where you would spend the additional revenue? I mean, are there you listed some of the needs that you'd identified, but I was wondering if you had a plan to spend that additional money if the millage passes.
Yeah, so if I can go back.
And if you could address that again, if you,
yeah,
maybe I'm just not a poor listener.
In addition to our current services, building a capital and operational fund to for BETA, providing additional services as well. So adding routes and drivers for the downtown loop, that would be a portion of the additional funding that would go. Making park and ride improvements. Rural service improvements would be a large portion of that as well. Our link service is on the higher spectrum of our cost per service hour as far as that goes, so that's a more costly service to provide, but it's one that we've heard that we need to offer. And then investments into our technology and our fleets and facilities as well. So that's where the funding will be diverted.
Did you say that some of the money would go to capital expenses like buying new buses?
Mm-hmm.
Do you get money from the are there federal grants that pay for capital expenses right now, like new buses?
Sure. Do you want to respond to that? Or?
I can.
Okay.
I don't know if I can speak
there, we've got a microphone.
Yeah. I'll just go sit down.
Okay. I was getting lonely.
and can you be sure to introduce yourself?
I sure can. Oh. Yeah. I'll just take the first seat. Yes. Kelly Dunham. I'm the director of the Bay Area Transportation Authority. So capital grants for can we turn the lights back on?
Sure.
He's waving a sign. currently, the state of Michigan has $1.75 million available for capital funding across the entire state of Michigan. That's part of the problem, right? So BETA has, and many other public transit authorities, have historically relied solely upon grants to fund their capital needs. Those capital dollars are not there like they used to be. And all of the direction that's being advised to public transportation authorities is to start funding your own capital needs, because these grants cannot be relied upon anymore. So if I put $1.75 million in perspective for you, BETA has a fleet of 66 vehicles. Currently, two-thirds of those vehicles have met their useful life, either through miles or through age. If we were to replace, which we're not, but if we were to replace all of those vehicles tomorrow that have met their useful life, it would cost over $5 million just for BETA's vehicles alone. The state has $1.75 million available to go around. It doesn't add up. So as we try to fund our own capital needs, it's not going to be done in 1 year. It's not going to be done in the life of this millage request. And it's certainly not going to be done at a millage rate of 0.5. The 0.5 request is going to allow us to have some growth, to have a moderate level of funding for capital needs so that we can be a sustainable system for this community for many years. But it's not going to be a windfall of additional revenue. $1.1 million in increased revenue each year is not going to be an all-in-one answer. BETA needs to continue to look for other grant opportunities, such as the tribal grant that we talked about earlier. We need to start looking at other funding sources as well, like specific relationships, contractual relationships, where we're able to do that. We're very limited in our ability to do that. We can't have, like, for example, the Film Festival or the Cherry Festival. We're not allowed to take money from them to provide that service. We can't have them pay us because we can't provide charter service. So we can only contract with qualified human service organizations. So if we want to build our contracted revenues, we've got to build more of those dedicated services. But that's not service that's open to the general public then, you know. So it's a bit of a complex issue, and I'm sorry that's a long answer to the question about capital funding, but we've been very fortunate in the past to receive a large number of capital grants, but they have left us with a large number of unfunded depreciation on our books.
I missed this question before. Are film and Cherry Festival riders counted in the total ridership numbers?
I believe that they are, yes.
Yeah, so total ridership for Cherry Festival was about 11,000 rides, and Film Festival last year was 7,000 to 9,000 rides. So about 20,000 rides came from festival ridership.
Before we go any further, we still have a couple questions left. I'd like to remind you that before the end of the night, the League of Women Voters is going to pass around evaluations of how the forum went, and we'd ask you to please fill those out and hand them to somebody from the league before. Everybody's got one. All right.
The other thing to add on to the vehicle purchasing is having local funding to be able to help purchase the vehicles that fit our community, that the type of vehicles that we want to have for providing the service delivery in our area. We'll put more control in our hands that way.
Max, this is probably a question that you can tackle. Does the chamber see a funding role for local chamber members in the future?
Just clarifying that, you mean would we offer chamber members a discount or money credit toward the riding or using beta services?
No, I think for funding the transportation service.
Oh, as far as giving money to the transportation service.
Right.
Oh, quite honestly, it's not a discussion that I have had. I don't know that I would necessarily rule it out. You know, the chamber is always looking for ways to add value to the community. So, and I definitely think that's a way to do it. So I can't give a concrete answer, yes or no, but it's certainly not something that's completely off the table.
Can I piggyback on that for a second, David?
Go ahead.
I'm aware that there are some federal tax programs whereby employers can take advantage of some federal tax programs so that they can offer bus passes to their employees. We do something like that at the Groundwork Center, and since I know this is live and will be on the air later as well, if any employers who are listening want to know about how they can take advantage of that, feel free to contact the Groundwork Center, and we can walk you through that process.
Another question, I'm not sure who would take this one, but does money given to developers through Brownfield Capture take away from NMC, from library, from the library system, and from schools?
I think the question is... are the Brownfield dollars being captured from those taxing authorities as well? Is that the question?
I think the question is if the Brownfield wasn't capturing in this specific district, would the money otherwise it would go to schools and NSC? Excuse me.
No. So the those other taxing authorities, like the schools, also have the TIF capture on their tax request as well. Schools and, yeah, library, unless they've opted out during the development phase of it, I think that.
Well, from contributing. Schools are exempt from putting tips on the ballot language. That came from the board president yesterday.
Okay.
We can talk about this later. Let's move on. Eric, I think you addressed this earlier, but is Beta now providing services? All right, no, this is different, actually. Is Beta now providing services to school children?
So we do have buses that... we do have buses that do take children to and from school. We have a number of – we try to align our routes, for example, like Route 12 that goes back and forth to Interlochen. One of our routes, as it's leaving Traverse City, does divert into TC West Middle School to be able to drop folks, students off, and then heads on the rest of its route.
and then it comes back the other direction in the afternoon. When school gets out, it runs through West Middle School and does pick up some students. A lot of them are school of choice kids, or maybe kids who got kicked off the bus who are no longer allowed to ride the TCAPS buses but still need to get to school.
We seem to have a high number of students. I hope they didn't get
I hope it's not all that
the bus,
that
the
case. But so yes, we do have a couple of our routes that do connect to different school entities around the region.
Would it be possible for Beta to approach large medical facilities for financial support? Is that legal?
The third party can only pay if they are a qualified human service organization.
What is that? What does that mean? Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, if you Google it, you'll find the list of of who comes up. But it means that they receive federal funding. It's a federal designation as a qualified human service organization. There is a long list of organizations that, not necessarily all of them being local here, but there is a long list that the federal government gives funding to that qualifies them as a qualified human service organization. And I apologize, I don't really have the list memorized.
Those are all the questions I have. If anybody else has, does anybody else have a question card that they would like to put forth? And if anybody had a question, we could also pass around the microphone if anybody has something they'd like to ask.
Peg? Munson uses when they release somebody who doesn't have transportation, they use a taxi service to send them where they need to go. Is that something you could do with the link, or is it just too sporadic to be counted on? I mean, could they do that with you and contract with you guys to do that linking rather than a taxi?
I don't. Well, they couldn't really contract with us. So it would be a matter of whether or not the bus is available. So they could try and see. Many of our link buses, our demand response buses, are reserved in advance. And, you know, but we do have cancellations. And from time to time, things open up. No.
No.
Has any thought been given to including Vincy County in Beta?
So right now, we try to partner with regional transportation entities because one of the things, as Jakob and for the chamber that have mentioned, is that regional connections for transportation. And so Benzie Bus is one of our partners that we work with already. We make connections with them at Ricks in Interlochen so that people can flow across county lines. We also are making connections with them in Lake Ann to provide more regional connections. And Benzie Bus actually has a version of transit they call TC Express that brings folks from Benzie County into Grand Traverse County for work and things like that. I think the metric was they have about 3,000 residents that actually work in Grand Traverse County but live in Benzie. So there's a lot of flow and connection there. But we also connect with Cadillac Wexford Transportation, with Kalkaska when we can. And so those, I think you will see moving forward a lot more regional connections with other transportation entities to improve connections for folks.
Are there any more questions?
I'm coming with the mic.
The question I have, I hear that there you can accept some grants, not others. You can contract with some. My question is, who makes up these rules that BETA has to follow?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, first of all, let me clarify. We can accept all grants. The rules are largely set by the FTA and enforced by MDOT. So Federal Transit Administration. And then MDOT enforces the FTA regulations.
If there's not any more questions, I'm going to turn it over to Peg, and I think we can conclude.
Thank you to all of our panelists. It's just so great to have this many of you here to share the information that you have so that citizens that want to know about this ballot proposal can feel more informed. So it's great. And it's so nice of all of you to come. We really appreciate that because we want to get information out to all of you so that you feel like when I mark that ballot, I know what I'm voting for or against. Okay. So, again, it's... What's that?
Here's to David.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely to David. Yeah. Very much so. Yes, he's a valued moderator, believe me. So anyway, if you would fill out the evaluation sheets, and there will be a couple people that will collect them as you leave. And it's been a great evening, and if you wouldn't mind, if there are a few people that would rather, you know, like come up and ask their questions individually, if you could remain just for a little bit longer, that would be super. Thank you.
Thank you.
And again, thanks, David.
Thank you.